Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of the Rick Emerson Show is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Right. We take Pete's car, we drive over to Mum's, we go in... take care of Philip.
I'm so sorry, Philip.
Then we grab Mum, we go over to Liz's place, pole up, have a cup of tea, and wait for all this to blow over.
Why have we got to go to Liz's?
Because we do.
She dumped you.
I have to know if she's all right.
Why?
Because I love her.
All right, gay. I'm not staying there, though.
Why not?
If we hole up, I want to be somewhere familiar... I want to know where the exits are, and I want to be allowed to smoke.
Okay. Take Pete's car, go round Mum's, go in, deal with Philip.
Sorry, Philip.
Grab Mum, go to Liz's, pick her up, bring her back here, have a cup of tea, and wait for all this to blow over.
Perfect.
No, wait, we can't bring her back here.
Why not?
Well, it's not exactly safe, is it?
Yeah. Look at the state of it.
Where's safe? Where's familiar?
Where can I smoke?
Take car, go to Mum's, kill Phil.
Sorry.
Grab Liz, go to the Winchester, have a nice cold pint, and wait for all this to blow over.
How's that for a slice of fried gold?
It is 24 minutes after the hour of one, and this is the month of May in the year of our Lord, 2011. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday, and welcome to day 12. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Emerson News Network, this, my friends, is the Rick Emerson radio program, an excursion into whimsicality, deep in the heart of Southeast Portland, Oregon, the home of all good things and peoples. And Don Taylor. It's 503-2... what am I doing? That's Squire's number. What the hell am I doing there?
I mean, you know...
I guess, you know.
You could call them, but...
you want to have it handy, just not for this purpose, probably.
Make them run up the stairs with a message for us.
Message for you, sir. It's 503-505-6964. You'd like to be part of today's program with the talkie face. It's 503-505-6964. Or you could just Skype, except then you run the risk of just, as Seamus puts it, looking retarded. I don't even know where to begin, and it is a Thursday, and here's the thing. It's not just a Thursday, but, you know, there's a lot going on the last couple of weeks, and then a lot, you know, sort of, you know, a whole bunch of stuff going on the past few days, sort of, you know, in the build-up to the signing thing tonight. So it's like, it's not just a Thursday, it's like a full-on, it's like a Thursday with a capital T.
It is.
And that rhymes with D, and that stands for...
Zombie.
No, come on! Wait. I should have done, well, first of all, I should have done rhymes with Z.
Yeah.
But then when I threw the D to you, thinking that you'd come up with something.
Dawn. Yeah, see, but that's me.
It's going to be the best show ever today.
I'm running a fever, and I have a sore throat. Ears hurt.
That's how it starts. We'd like to welcome brand-new listener Irvin, who's paying for this. When I said that I didn't even know where to begin, I've got all the stuff that just came in over Skype during the break between Legion of News and this show. I got all the notes to get to that I made during Legion of News, things I didn't, observations I didn't make, pop culture references that weren't uttered, all kinds of observational arterials, tributaries that were not gone down in the river system of my mind, because I wanted us to stay sort of on task, as they used to say in school, on point. And then I've got a bunch of things in the text box, such as, again, new subscriber Irwin. I don't even know how to say, or Irvin, I'm sorry, who actually says this. He typed this at 1:23, which is, I think, just as the show is starting, and he said, "Great, my first day. Is this the way it always is?" And I don't know if he's being sarcastic, or if he's sort of happy about it, or if he's upset about it, or if he's feeling that we've just horked him on $7.
Where's the talking? Is there any talking? Is it just what?
Am I hearing Barry Manilow? Yeah, there's no context given, and there's no emoticon. There's no there's neither a wink nor a nod nor a rose nor a smiley face clown hat, or the emoticon jazz hands, which I try to use now. He just says, there's not even any punctuation actually. It just says, "Great, my first day. Is this the way it always is?"
Yes.
Yes. I was going to lie, but I mean yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
This is it.
So this is really yes. And welcome. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We're going to be. I'll read a couple of other messages in a moment. One of them is from Melody's mother. She's the one who actually just started listening because she liked Legion of News, and then Mother's Day was this past Sunday. And so Melody, being a good and dutiful daughter and thoughtful, bought her mom not just another flower or a card or
chocolates.
Some sort of a stuffed animal geegaw that you look at and then you kind of go, "Oh, that's cute," and then you like stick it in a steamer trunk and you give it to Goodwill as soon as she's out of the city. No, you got her
one of those horrible sad-eyed orphans that's holding a heart that's "I love you very much."
I was just gonna make a "love you" joke. Well done, Don Taylor. See, you're bringing your A game today. No, 3 months of 3 months of the Rick Emerson Radio Program given to Melody's mother by Melody herself. So we'll get an email from Melody's mom, and we'll get an email from a brand new listener, Irvin, who's describing the way in which he first encountered the Rick Emerson Radio Show. So we'll get to that. Let's see, we got a penis watch coming up today, clown watch coming up today, cannibal watch coming up today. Also, Dawn at like 11:45 this morning sprayed something all over the front of her clothing.
Yeah,
here's the thing about it. I don't want to get off track from jump here, but it's like it's too late for that. So yeah. It wasn't even carbonated was the thing.
No,
it's a non-carbonated beverage. It's almost like the universe has just decided you will be covered in goo every day.
Yes.
It's like God has become some food fetishist, but only where you are concerned, because it's a non-carbonated canned beverage.
Right.
And I'm busy typing away, and I hear this. Yeah, come on! And I look over, and it's like from head to toe, nearly, you were just covered in whatever.
It was like Vesuvius. It just kept roiling out of the top of this damn little can, and I'm going, slurp, slurp, trying to suck it out of the thing before it just... And it's just going all over my hands and my clothes, and... God, it was
like
sad.
One of those candles you can't blow out on a cake, except it was a tinned beverage of some kind.
No idea why it did that. And then I drink it anyway, even though there's part of you that's thinking, well, it could be like full of botulism or something. That's
seriously.
Why it did, and then I'm just drinking it.
Something has gone really wrong with that. Was it frozen?
It might have gotten overly cold. It also says on it, it says, "Do not shake before opening."
And it's not a carbonated thing.
And it was in my laptop bag. No, it's not supposed to be. It's for those of you who are interested, it's a Monster coffee energy drink. It was just, it's just supposed to be coffee and energy crap.
And just the tiniest hint of plutonium 80.
It has nitrogenated coffee.
That doesn't mean anything.
No.
That's a made up. What do you mean nitrogenated? First of all, doesn't it sound like there's an extra syllable in that word?
Yeah, it's not supposed to. It's not supposed to blow up on you when you open it.
Okay. By the way,
it's not recommended for children or pregnant women, by the way.
It's also not recommended that you continue with descriptions of opening the beverage this morning if you don't want to have some weird perverse effect on many male members of the audience.
Maybe that will be our niche fetish video. We'll just be videos of me spilling food on myself.
Hey, by the way, speaking of niche fetish things, did you know that there's a... there's an MMO, a massively multiplayer online for furries.
I'm not surprised.
For Cadia.
I didn't know that, but I'm not shocked.
Yeah, that's Seamus. Seamus said that, and then he used a smiley face, which he then said after Skype animated emotes make me look retarded. Yes, they do.
Yeah,
and
that's not
just you. That's like everybody. Cheryl again gave me the Bieber last night. I was on Skype talking to Cheryl about something.
Gave you the Bieber?
Gave me the Bieber.
Oh, the Bieber, like Justin Bieber. That there was some kind of...
Don't be vile,
Don. No, I was thinking of an actual, like, little beaver, like...
Like Naked Gun style?
Yeah.
Nice beaver. No, it was... I made some snark... We were on Skype, because she is sort of like you in that she's got... I think you at one point had, like, the limited text messaging thing on your phone, where it's like you were literally paying, like, 14 cents or 19 yeah. cents or something a text. And she's still on that. And so as a result, like if I text her too often, because it's the texting, it's like you just, like I get like 9,000 a month or whatever it is that I paid, like the flat. Wow. So it's like I didn't even really think about it. And I've never had an overage. I think once in my cell phone life have I had an overage. So I don't really think about it. But with her, it's like every time I send it to her, she basically just sees like a quarter flying out the window. So she finally just got Skype, and she's like, if I send her more than two or three texts in an hour, she'd be like, don't effing text Skype me, you dick. And so I'm like, all right, it's fine. So I got on Skype, and we were doing something the other night. I made some snarky comment. And then the thing is, it's not even, it's like she's found some weird backdoor on the whole Skype thing, because it's not even like a listed emoticon, I don't think, but it is literally, it's like Justin Bieber's face appears and then he smiles and does a little like shimmy and then his hair falls into his eyes all like sexily and then he shakes it back again. And it's like, what emotion are you trying to convey? If only Justin Bieber were here to gyrate his head spasmodically.
I feel like very Bieber today.
Seriously, this makes no sense at all. All right, well, in any event, it is the Rick Emerson radio program, so thank you for joining us on this Thursday. Yes, we got Penis Watch coming up today, Clown Watch coming up today, Cannibal Watch coming up today. I'm feeling a little bit crazy. Dom might vomit at any moment.
No, it's not that kind of sick.
Really?
Yeah, it's...
Is it the nose? Is it the sinus cavity? Is it like vomiting but different?
It's just my head hurts. I have a low-grade headache and I just hurt in my jaw area and my throat hurts.
Are your glands swollen?
They don't feel swollen. Well,
I don't even really know what that means.
They don't feel swollen, but they do feel sensitive. And I think I'm running a little bit of a fever.
It's a thing they always... Is it Bieber fever? Because I've got an emoticon for that I could send to you right now.
And I have to, like, not be sick, because, first of all, I was supposed to go to your signing tonight, and I may miss that if I'm sick, because I also have to be at Wonder Northwest all weekend. And if I, like, push myself too hard and make myself sick, then that's going to be even worse.
Imagine being at Wonder Northwest, and no offense, being surrounded by, like, 9 million sweaty geeks. Or yeah. just smell like a basement and Mountain Dew Code Red. I'm just going, are you Don Taylor? Oh, you got the greatest voice. Say something pretty.
And my throat's all sore, and I've got like 100-degree fever, and I'm like, next, I'll do my Rickman squeak. Next.
It's good to be alive. It's good to laugh. Thank you for joining us. If you'd like to engage with us telephonically today, I've been pushing this like later and later in the show. Like I think yesterday I did the phone number and the email like 40 minutes into the program. If you'd like to call today, you can perhaps just say, damn it, Rick, you've taken my money and given me nothing.
In the 5 minutes that are left of the show, come on.
It's 503-505-6964 for your comments, questions, clarifications, observations, ruminations, ponderings, musings of an ironic nature, whatever it is that might be on your mind or plaguing your brain on this Thursday. You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. It is rick@rickemerson.com. Dawn can be emailed. It's Dawn, D-A-W-N, @rickemerson.com. You can also Skype. It's Rick Emerson Show via... Hold on, let me get this done. Rick Emerson Show via Skype. It's all one word. Rick Emerson Show at Skype. And then the text box on the website is open as well. Seamus just typed, I'm in my basement drinking Mountain Dew Code Red right now. I am so pathetic. And then he put an animated frowny emoticon.
I wish they made a diet Mountain Dew Code Red, because I don't drink sugared sodas, but Mountain Dew Code Red is delicious.
What does it taste like?
It's like Mountain Dew, only they add like cherry to it. So it's citrusy and cherry at the same time. It really does. It's like Mountain Dew doesn't really taste like anything other than Mountain Dew.
I was going to ask what Mountain Dew is supposed to taste like, but it's its own flavor.
Yeah, it's a combination of citrus flavors. But it tastes like Mountain Dew, but it's got cherry added to it.
It makes me a bad geek, but I don't like Mountain Dew.
I do.
I know people do, and it Mountain Dew. Here's the thing about Mountain Dew. Attention, I don't have time to write this. Chuck Klosterman, write this article, please, so I can read it. I should totally start a Twitter feed. This just like crap I want somebody else to write so that I can read it. Because there could be, you know, a whole cultural analysis of things. We've talked about the pop culture, the four stages of pop culture, which is famous, reviled, kitschy, and then acknowledged as great. So like Dolly Parton, Bee Gees, Queen, whatever, Barry Manilow. Yeah, there's another thing that happens with stuff like Mountain Dew, because Mountain Dew was like a hippie drink originally, and it had that whole hillbilly logo. You're the one who was actually talking about that, where it was like, you know, Pa was out making some shine and had to like get after a guy with his musket or whatever. Yeah. And he had like the corked thing with the three X's on the side, and he's like Snuffy Smith. And then there was a whole thing where they were marketing Mountain Dew to athletes. Remember when Mountain Dew was like, it's an extreme beverage, Tony Hawk, you know, snapping your femur, and a guy was, you know, because I guess they were competing with Surge, which was just a guy who scrambled up hills of mud and wore knit caps, I think. It was, you know, feel the surge. You know, and it was just like a lot. I remember just sitting at home watching television and just thinking, I am leaving childhood now because this seems retarded. So Mountain Dew was like, first it was for like hillbillies and nitwits. Then it was for like extreme athletes and like grunge musicians or whatever. And then at some point it just became for geeks and nerds. And it's like, I don't know how that happened. It followed, you know what it followed? It followed the same path almost as Converse Chuck Taylors.
Huh.
Because, you know, Chuck Taylors were for jocks at one point.
Yeah.
And then they were for dirtbags. And now they're just like solely for like geeks and alt types. And not even really alt types, because I think alt types go to like Vans and Keds sometimes. I think Chucks are almost, Chuck Taylors are almost solely for geeks now. And so it's gone from being a thing that was for one, I mean, which is fine. I mean, not what one's better than the other. It's just interesting how it travels from one segment of society to another. And Mountain Dew has followed kind of the same, sort of the same career, the same evolutionary path in terms of popular culture. By the way, Keelan would like to know that in Michigan, Mountain Dew was like crack for the white kids at my high school. Mountain Dew really is stuff that white people like. There's no getting around that.
Well, the thing is, Mountain Dew, they keep trying to come up with these different flavors of Mountain Dew, too, and they're almost always terrible. And the Code Red isn't. The Code Red is delicious.
So they're not alternate flavors or like knockoffs of Mountain Dew?
No, alternate flavors. Like they had one a year or two back that was called Whiteout. They actually had they do these promotions where
did Whiteout taste like?
I don't, it didn't, it just ass. It just tastes like carbonated ass. They have these promotions where they get fans to like create new flavors. Like they just had one apparently the last few months where you were supposed to go on their website and vote on these two new flavors. And they brought one of them out, and I'm a sucker. I'm an American. I'll try some new thing.
Sure.
And so, of course, I have complete amnesia where I've forgotten that all of the new Mountain Dew flavors, except for Code Red, taste like ass. So I buy this thing because it's called, I don't know, it's like Mountain Dew Tsunami or Mountain Dew Brain Explosion or something. It has some one of those extreme names. And it's this interesting kind of pale lavender color. And I think, I'll try this. It might be good. And it turns out, no, it's melon kiwi flavor.
No.
And it was the most horrible thing.
And by the way, kiwi and melon aren't lavender.
The color was wrong. The flavors didn't go together. It didn't taste like anything that God or nature intended you to put in your mouth. It was horrible.
The weird thing is, your tip-off should have been that it's lavender. There's no lavender food.
I know.
Not even, I mean,
I thought maybe it would be, like, lightly grape-flavored or something. Maybe, like, a citrus grape.
No, somebody's noting that it was deodorant-flavored. Because and the tip-off was, that it was, I mean, well, you know, and you know who created, you know what's responsible for this? The company that is responsible for the weird blended soda flavors, because they did it right, and they probably still do. The company responsible for that is the Snapple company. Because Snapple was the first, and I know there were probably others, but Snapple was the first mainstream beverage I was aware of where they did the strange blending of things that, like, you'd never thought to blend before. Like, I remember, like a lot of people, my favorite Snapple was Kiwi Strawberry. And I haven't had a Snapple in a long, long time.
Supernova is what it is. It's called Diet Mountain Dew Supernova, and it's a strawberry melon flavored Mountain Dew. Oh my God, it was horrible.
Here's the tip off. Here's the tip off that something is going to taste bad. And I will say right now that actually, at least in my opinion, and I know that some of the different flavors they can be a little polarizing. In my opinion, I think Vizo is sort of the exception that proves the rule here, because vigor is not a flavor. But like Supernova, it's like when you get the Gatorade. What's this? Arctic Wind. Well, that just means it doesn't taste like anything real in nature ever. Like, there's no. They gave it to a focus group, and the focus group went, well, this doesn't taste like guava at all. And they went, okay, we can't call it scratch guava. It doesn't know. Ixnay on the Avagwe. Call it something else. And they goes, The mountain, forest, mist, rain, sludge, dirt, cloud. There we go. And then they would just put it. So as any, somebody just typed right before I did it, moments before I said it, somebody actually just typed the best name because I was sick of the Arctic Wind. Somebody said they should totally make one. I don't know why this is so funny, because it's a thing that would exist. Somebody says, why did they create a Mountain Dew that's called Space Wind? That would totally sell. Oh, my God. Dude, You need to be trademarking that right now.
Space wind.
Get on the internet. Well, stay on the internet. You're on the internet now. Trademark space wind, like this instant. Jesus, that's brilliant. Mountain Dew, space wind. And then he would just show some nerd pausing to refresh himself after slaying an orc or something. Jesus, when you're riding into Stormwind, you need some space wind in your sails to something something space. Oh, that's great. Okay.
I would actually, I don't know if I'd drink something that was called Space Wind, but I might buy Space Wind scented deodorant.
He just said I could have sodas and deodorant. Before you even said that. Moments before you said it, he goes, oh my God, I could sell sodas and deodorant. I think we stumbled onto something here.
That's
clearly
true.
You're a focus group without even knowing it, and it's brilliant.
That's true. You know, they have, there's these companies, I think Suave or some of these companies, a couple of companies make for ladies, a deodorant with sort of a matching body mist scent.
Yes.
So why couldn't you have a deodorant with a complimentary beverage?
So if you spill something, your scent remains unchanged.
Yeah.
So, like, if you were to spray yourself down some sort of a tasty beverage in the morning, it doesn't matter. You smell exactly the same as when you left the house.
For people like me who just spill stuff on themselves all the time.
Space wind. I don't know why that's so great, but it is. It's the best thing I've ever heard. Oh, my God. I have to close the screen. I can't even look at that. Jesus. Oh, man. I got, 10 hours before I can go to bed. All right, well, let's see. It is the Rick Epperson Radio Program. Don Taylor's tracking the following headlines for you on this Thursday.
I am not even going to do this today. Every single day, I read the headlines, and then we don't get to them.
We don't have any guests today, though.
We don't have, okay, because we've got a ton of watches and stuff, too. But, yes, we have a story on oil companies defending their tax breaks. We've got the space shuttle scheduled to launch. And we've got U.S. senators supporting legislation to increase job training. Also, I have one of the best Craigslist ads ever.
Awesome.
That I need to read.
And then we have, Nazi watch, penis watch, clown watch, cannibal watch.
So much to do.
And I actually did say sort of before we even started the show when we were in the, it was like 11:40 or something. I said, we'll try not to go too tremendously over time today. What with your rebelling body and all. So, by the way, so we now have a complete list of Mountain Dew flavors. Here is a complete list of Mountain Dew flavors. Revolution, Voltage, Supernova, Whiteout, Distortion, Typhoon, Livewire, Code Red, Pitch Black, Baja Blast. See, I'm such an idiot target market myself because I already want to drink Pitch Black and I don't even know what it tastes like. It probably tastes terrible. It probably tastes like dirt.
Yeah. But it's a great name for a beverage. Pitch Black.
Game Fuel. That's a tie-in with Halo 3.
Okay.
They have a tie-in with World of Warcraft, which is Horde Red.
Ah.
Alliance Blue. Ultraviolet. Cherry Fusion. Flare. Crave. And then, of course, because it's like a law, they have one that is just called Extreme.
Extreme.
Because, you know, it's required.
Extreme.
Jesus, God almighty. Space wind.
It's just so sad, though, that, you know, I looked at this and I went, oh, it's an interesting color. It's like, ooh, it's called Supernova. I'll try this. And honestly, I don't even bother to look to see what flavor it is. And then later I look at it and I go, melon strawberry? What the...
Like a terrible idea.
And it was horrible.
Gatorade was the first, they were the first company to actually start giving things just nonsense names, where it was like, you know, Gatorade Bolt, you know, and it was just, here's why, and it's because I read this, and I don't know if it's true, but this is something I read, and I tend to think it's true, that originally they were going to actually have one that was so-called Tiger Woods flavor, which seems even funnier now, but it was going to be like, you know, tiger flavor. And I think then it was just a whole weird thing of like, you were just going to be drinking a bottle of his sweat. Mm. And so they were like, no, quick, call it something else. Yeah. You know, you can't call it like Rod, you know, or you know, Club or something, you know, or Hole in One. It just doesn't work. So it's like, yeah, they went with Bolt or whatever. Which is like that Michael Jordan cologne, which apparently was actually, and I think he actually has three different scents now, but the original Michael Jordan cologne apparently was actually very, very, very good. It was a great scent. But that was a thing that I just, Not even, and it wasn't even like it was because it was a strangely homoerotic thing. It was just the idea of like wearing Michael Jordan's scent is sort of, it's like I'm pulling out his glands with a pair of pliers and rubbing them on myself before I go into battle.
Yeah, big sweaty athlete guy is probably a cologne with their name on it is not necessarily a good idea. You just imagine they're like, you know, in some version of the Slurm Factory, just, you know, squeezing their glands out into bottles.
Wim, wim, wazzle! So tired.
What was I going to... about the Code Red thing, it's one of the few times that I've... Like I said, I don't usually drink sugared sodas, and a couple of the exceptions I will make is that... I don't know if they do anymore, but there was a period when you could get the Mountain Dew Code Red at Taco Bell, because PepsiCo owns Taco Bell, and getting just a big fountain drink of that stuff with ice. And it is, it's like basically like a cherry flavored soda, but because it's Mountain Dew, it's also got the citrus in it.
Right.
So it's got a little bit of tang to it. So it's not just ungodly sweet. It actually has a little bit of that sour citrus punch too. So it's really delicious. And the other thing is Sonic has limeade, and the Sonic limeade is so delicious.
Now, is it from a fountain, or do they make it from scratch?
I don't know. I am assuming they must just send huge vats of concentrate to all the Sonic franchises, because it comes. It is sold as a fountain drink.
I've never had good limeade.
Their limeade is very good, and then they also do this thing. They're all about the customization of your drinks and such. So they have all these flavors that you can get slushes or ices or whatever. And you can also, for no extra charge, get a flavor added to a soda or a limeade or what have you. So you can get a cherry limeade, or they have cranberry. You can get cranberry limeade. Very delicious. I highly recommend the Sonic limeade.
That's why things like, you know, the Arctic Fjord or whatever exist. Because cranberry limeade... Like, really, I mean, that, compared to your strawberry melon thing, like, on the paper, they probably, I mean, none of that looks normal, you know, but occasionally.
Yeah.
But it's like dipping fries in your milkshake. Who would ever think that's a thing that, like, you know, people were into? I mean, I am not, but I know many people who are, so.
M&Ms with pretzels in the middle of them.
Well, I think it was you that noted that they can no longer come up with new flavors, so now it's just new combinations, where they just spin a wheel or something. The M&M with pretzel, though, that's a perfect example of a thing where they got it right. Mm-hmm. And then, like, again, kiwi strawberry Snapple back when, but now they just, you know.
The coconut M&M, not so good.
No.
Horrible, actually.
Did I say that there was a flavor of Mountain Dew called Flair?
Yes.
I don't know if that's for the gays. It's entirely...
For people who love Office Space.
Yes. Oh, God. All right. Let's see. Well, Jesus, it's 1:50 already. So here's the thing. So it is Thursday, May 12th, 2011. Coming up tonight, and then this is like the last day you'll ever have to hear about this, except for tomorrow. We'll do a little recap tomorrow. Today is the signing at Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble Lloyd Center, 7 p.m., the signing for Zombie Economics, a guide to personal finance. That is happening tonight, 7 p.m., Barnes & Noble Lloyd Center. I'll be there, our good friend Todd the Corpse going to be there as well. And then, of course, many of the extended Rick Emerson cast, crew, friends, family, our good friend Cheryl Kanakoa, who was of invaluable help and support during the creation of the book. She'll be there. Roger Bridges, who did the jacket art. Somebody asked if Lisa's going to be there, and regrettably, that it just wasn't. We really did try to find a way to make that happen, and I'm only saying it now because I don't want it to be a thing that, like, you know, and like I'm gonna, like, she's gonna come out of a Jack in the Box at some point during the, like, you know,
and here she is
hiding behind this copy of, you know, Finnegan's Wake. It's Lisa Desjardins. I am only saying this, and this is not reverse psychology. When I, this is unfortunate, we really do. It is it, like with all things, you can blame the government for this because, like, every time she tried to get a block of days off, they were just, something would happen. They'd be, we're going to close the government, you know, or, you know, we're going to go kill Osama bin Laden. They would just do something. And so she was just never able to get a block of days.
There's a chemical cloud.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. But I do have to thank, by the way, I should say this. I should thank Stephanie Strickland for really making time last night on KGW Live at 7. I was on the downtown at the square. By the way, this is a thing you don't get to see on the TV, I don't think. But you know where the studio is. It's right in the middle of Pioneer Corridor Square. And there's the huge glass, you know, the glass window. But, you know, the huge just wall of glass. And I don't think they do the thing of... I think they keep the tight shot on her, or, you know, like whoever it is that's hosting, you know, that's anchoring at, you know, whatever night. Because otherwise you would get things like what you had last night, which is if you had been in the studio, like I was there kind of waiting for my live shot. And I'm sitting there just, I don't know, a few feet away from Stephanie. She's doing her stand-up. And, like, basically where you are, like, she's there. And I'm just, like, a few feet away. And the window is, like, behind you. And the window is just filled with drag queens. And I don't think you could see that at home, even when they cut to her. Again, I think they kept a tight shot. But, and they were really well done. I don't know if they were from, like, Darcelle's or if there was, like, some, like, a thing happening. But, like, really, like, full-on, like, they just came here from, like, the Goddess show at the Sands or something. It was, like, these drag queens, like... There was like 15 of them.
They weren't there for you with the zombie.
Well,
economics?
I like to think so, but they were. It was, and then of course she goes to a break and she turns around and goes, "You look fabulous," you know, and just and then they blew kisses at her and then they went away. It was the weirdest thing. Anyway, so yeah, there was the whole toxic chemical, you know, the thing that was floating around last night, which yes, then it did shrink the length of my segment a little bit on the Skrillex Net. But I do want to thank KGW and Stephanie Strickland for still making, you know, finding time to sort of to get me on to bump my gums about the book a little bit. There was actually, like, as it became more and more apparent that they were going to have to, like, cut my segment down a little bit because of that, there was actually, I think it was the listener John who posted something. He said, "Is this viral marketing? Is Rick Emerson the toxic cloud?" So if only I were that bright, sir. If only I had thought of that. But I also want to thank KBTV, KBDX, Fox 12, Andy Carson, et al. For they had me on Morgan Bay, Oregon this morning.
I wish I'd done that.
It was just me talking. You get to see, you,
I know.
Maybe that's all I had for you.
But I don't get to see you hanging out with Andy Carson.
It was, you know, and the thing is, he has, you know, he has, you see it on the TV, and then sometimes you wonder if it's the case in real life. He has really good hair.
Yeah.
You see, you know, because sometimes you see people on the screen, you go, you know, they go, well, they're just doing that with CGI. Andy Carson doesn't even have a head. But you see him in the, but he has great hair in real life. So those guys were, so I want to thank Nicole and Eddie and Ashley and everybody at Fox 12 for that. That was this morning. Anyway, this is all true. So that's happening tonight, 7 p.m., Barnes & Noble Lloyd Center.
And I'm going to do my best to be there, but
I'm
maybe coming down with something.
With your sickness? Is this the same thing that, like, somebody... Didn't we know somebody else who was sick? Well, Ryan White had a thing. He was all phlegm, though. He was all about phlegm.
Yeah, this doesn't seem to be about phlegm. This is just about pain in my head, so in my jaw. But, and I can feel my throat doing something.
Would it help if I shouted everything for the rest of the show? I can do that.
It always helps when you shout everything.
Okay.
But I will try to be there. But if folks are hoping to see me there, because, you know, it is all about me.
And to hoist you on their shoulders and carry you out of the building.
But it's about 50-50 right now whether I'll be there. But I will be at Wonder Northwest this weekend. So
I already made the joke about just sending Eric Snyder in your place, though.
Yeah.
Just put him in a wig and just, you know.
Yeah. Hello. No one will know the difference.
Yeah.
And he can just stand there with his hands on his hips and go, "Oh, Rick."
It is 503-505-6964 and all of that. Let's see. I had some stuff I wrote down last hour, and I said I don't want to get to this now. Well, the thing about you spilling stuff, I got to that. Let's see. This is just an observation more about anything else. There's really no conversation to be had here, but this is... So I sent like a Twitter thing about, I don't know, something this morning. Porn or something. But I sent some Twitter message, and I was looking... Did you ever look at your total number of like tweets or whatever that you have ever sent? It's like, you know, you have said, because there's the stats, like you have so many followers and you follow whatever. And I realized that I feel like I send Twitter messages a lot, and not just this week, but I mean, just in general. I send a few of those a day, and I'm only at like 700. And it's like, then you see people who have like, you know, who are on like their 9,000th tweet. And it's like, you just wonder, like, I really honestly just wonder how that's even possible. Like, unless you just have some tweet bot at home that is just constantly just sending things out on your behalf. It's either impressive or sad when you see people that just have, like, thousands and thousands and thousands of tweets.
Well, I know some people who, like, just tweet constantly all throughout their day about, like, you know, everything.
Is this the, is this a thing where it's like if you have kids, maybe, that is the easiest way for you to have sort of quasi-conversations with other grown-ups? Is that the deal?
I guess there's just some people who just sort of do it all the time, though. My friend Scott Weinberg, he's a film critic, and he compulsively tweets, like, all the time, constantly. But the thing is, he gets angry at you if you drop him from Twitter.
If you unfollow.
So you can't ever unfriend him. It's like, what? Why don't you want to hear what I have to say? Just because I live tweeted watching Conan the Barbarian at 3 o'clock in the morning and then talked about my cat 47 times during the day. And you're like, dude, Robert Wagner. And Robert Wagner is often very, very entertaining and very funny. But Robert Wagner tweets a lot.
Now, see, and that's the thing I think, because here's the deal with Robert Wagner, though. And this will go for, like, Sabrina and Bobby and, you know, anybody on Cascadia. That's the thing. It's like, those are serving a dual purpose. Like, that's not a thing where it's like one account for, you know, just like tweets from life and one account for like Cascadia tweets or tweets related to business. Like, that all goes through. That's a branding, you know, I don't know. That's a branding thing. But for simplicity's sake, anyway, it all goes through, you know, one Twitter account. For, like, Robert has one Twitter account. Like, he doesn't tweet separately
as Cascadia.
As, you know, Cascadia Overlord. Bobby doesn't have, like, a separate Twitter account just for the Court and Fabboy show. Like, that is, I think, that is the thing where you're making it easier for people by just giving them the one thing to follow, and then they get it all right there. I'm talking about people that are not, like, using it, that are not, like, promoting a show or a thing or whatever. And again, it's not like I think less of those people. I just wonder, like, how they do it. It's like when you, talk to people who get like 8 hours of sleep a night, and I just think, like, how do you get anything done? Yeah. I'm envious and sort of puzzled and mystified, and just but completely perplexed as to how it's possible to do that and to accomplish anything.
I've been on Twitter since March 11th of 2009. And I have tweeted 3,211 times.
Yeah, I'm at 700. And I mean, I think I went on around the same time you did. Let's see. Well, in any event, let's see, what else do I have here? Oh, and finally, why was I writing this down? Oh, because during Science on the March, during Legion of News, you actually at one point went, science, in a way that triggered not the usual, like, the world of tomorrow thing in my head. That's what it usually does. This time I did something else. It triggered in my head a little playback of it in the jukebox in my brain. It triggered a little playback of the Still Alive song from Portal, you know, with Aperture Science. Which brings me to this, that Lara is stuck on the last puzzle in Portal. And she's been playing that last puzzle in Portal for, like, days and days and days. Because let's be honest, not like Rick Emerson wears the pants or any other item of clothing in the home. It is not, I am not that guy. And I wouldn't be capable of being that guy with my wife if I wanted to. Like, if I tried to be a guy that just, like, put my foot down, honey, as the man of the house, like, I don't think I'd get past that phrase before she'd, like, in gales of laughter, would just pat me on the head and just go about her business.
Like the day Patrick told me he was putting his foot down.
Yeah.
And I just started laughing uproariously. And for months afterwards, every time he'd like start to get insistent about something, I go, oh, are you putting your foot down?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I think it would be like if the dog told you it was just going to go to the store to buy some smokes. You just go, oh, that's so cute. He thinks he can drive a car. So it's not like I'm that guy, but I put down like some sort of like a, it was sort of like a nerd pride thing because she wanted to get Portal 2. And I said, but you're still stuck on that last puzzle in Portal 1. And she's like, well, yeah, but I'm basically done. I'm like, basically don't make the buttercup shine, baby. Like, you got to finish all the way front to back. And like, until you hear the song, you haven't finished it. So she's been on. So that's what I was reminded of. Just this idea that everybody's talking about how great Portal 2 is, and not least of which, spoiler, lol, at the end, a new Jonathan Coulton song. And so it's just driving her insane that she can't get past. And I gave her like a full on like honor code thing about it too. I'm like, you can't purchase it. You can't download it. Or even you can't buy it. You can't do it. You got to finish the first one before you can feel good about going online and purchasing the second one. And I said, and also the other thing you can't do is, you could probably go on YouTube if you wanted to and find like a walkthrough if you want to cheat and have no honor or dignity. You know, I mean, but you know, you're smart enough. You don't need a walkthrough. And so now she just hates me because I've painted her into this weird, corner of like smartification meets pride, that she won't go on and look for a walkthrough or a hint or anything. And so she just sits there with, you know, the GLaDOS voice just going, the experiment is almost complete. You know, soon it will be baked and then there will be cake. And she just sits there and she goes, shut up! And one of those moments where you realize you need like a steel reinforced Xbox controller because she's just gonna break the thing in half one of these days when she binds down on it. So, anyway, let's see. What are we? Well, we should just go to the news. Lobster. So all of that and then stuff. Are you ready for some news?
I am indeed.
What about some football? Are you ready for that?
The microphone is so cool on my head.
Final thing here. Somebody says, can we bring the book? This is for the Night Sunning. Can we bring the book we already have, or do we need to buy one there to be present? There's the answer that is an American capitalist I should give, and then there's the real answer, which is just bring the one you have. I think the deal is they have two lines. Because I asked about that, they have two lines, and it's like I think if you're buying it there, I think they put you into some separate thing. So they route you through like a separate sort of like point or whatever, just so they can keep track of who's bringing it in and who's not. But yeah, no, it ain't no thing, as the young people say. So bring away, sir. All right. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen. I give you... No, that's not... Sorry. That's wrong. It's totally not it. It's this, Don Taylor.
And now, from the news desk, this is Don Taylor.
A man threw himself off the world's tallest building in Dubai, according to its developer, plummeting to his death in the first suicide from Burj Khalifa Tower. The man, believed to be in his 20s and of South Asian background, jumped from the 147th floor of the 2,700-foot skyscraper and landed on a terrace on the 108th floor. Those details were not confirmed, however, by the building's developer. The company said it had recorded an incident involving a male at the Burj Khalifa site Tuesday morning. The concerned authorities have confirmed that it was a suicide, and we are awaiting the final report, the statement said. The man may have worked at a company inside the 160-story building, adding the police said statement showed a holiday he had requested had been turned down.
Is this a case of Dubai cruel world?
All right. And suicide, Dubai. Okay, check.
I was trying to do like it was that, or I was going to reverse and do like a Budai, but then that didn't really work.
No.
That's if you'd scared him and then he had keeled over, it would have been Budai, but not so much here.
So this came to my attention via the intranets. I found this quite delightful. This was a listing on Craigslist from Long Island. The title is "Rapture on May 21st. I would like your stuff." I guess there are some rumors that the Rapture is going to happen on the 21st of this month.
Is the Rapture a new Gatorade flavor?
Oh, it should be.
Yes.
Is
it the Jesus-y Rapture?
Yeah, the Jesus-y Rapture, where all the good people are going to be taken away to heaven and all the bad people still have to
left
be
left behind.
So the Craigslist ad reads, "Are you attending the Rapture on May 21st, 2011? I expect to be left behind when it happens, so if you aren't going to need your worldly possessions, be they money, cars, canned food, durable goods, etc., I would gladly take them off your hands. Serious responses only, please. And remember, time is short. You can contact me by replying to this ad. I live in Ronkonkoma, which I guess is a town in Long Island, but I'm willing to travel for said goods."
Now, so this is a guy who's saying, like, if you don't want your stuff to go to waste.
Yeah.
So the heathens who are left behind, you know, they're still going to need, still going to need DVD players or whatever. And so he's saying, you're going to be whisked away with God on a chariot of fire.
Yeah. Can I have your car?
Can I have your lava lamp?
Yeah.
Yes. This, and I mean, when you think about it, it's actually sort of a, and the key is to ask now.
Right.
Because, you know, if you ask on the 22nd, you may get a different answer. So, where is this at?
Long Island.
So it's Long Island. I would be surprised if that doesn't actually start cropping up across the country, because that is, because in a way, they're almost forced to do it. Like, if they believe in the Rapture as a testament of their faith, they are almost required to give you their stuff, because
they just don't want to give unbelievers their possessions because they think we're unworthy.
Maybe, or maybe they're thinking, like, if you're left behind, it ought to be hard. You shouldn't have, like, a plush recliner to sit in.
I've always wondered what happens to people's pets. Because that seems terrible. If you believe in the Rapture and you actually believe it's going to happen at some point, you probably shouldn't have a dog or a cat, because what happens if Jesus scoops you up and then there's no one there to feed your cat?
This brings up... never mind. I was going to tell an angering story about a hamster.
Okay.
I don't want to tell. It'll just make me angry.
All right.
No, I just... long story short, when I was a... I went to a Catholic school. And when I... As dumb as this sounds, and this sounds really, really dumb unless you view things through, like, the mind of an 8-year-old, or however old I was, which is sort of, I think 8 is what the Catholic Church believes to be the age of reason. So that's right about the time that I should have been going, like, F this. But they did a, because, the Catholics have, like, feasts and days of whatever for, like, everything. I mean, there's, like, a saint for everything. It's like how there's a God for everything. You know, it's like there's... what is it? Is there to use it? Jeff, the God of Biscuits or whatever.
Yeah.
And like Catholics, I mean, there is like a patron saint of the internet. There's a patron saint of hookers. There's a patron saint of epileptics. There's a patron saint of, there's a patron saint of handicrafts. There's a patron saint of, lawyers. I mean, it's like there's everything. And but so there is Saint Francis, and he is the patron saint of animals. And on the feast of Saint Francis, they do this thing where and I mean, you know, you have to view this from within the prism of like if you are in fact still an active Catholic and you kind of believe the whole thing. So this is, you know, from an outsider or an agnostic or a non-Catholic perspective, it all sounds crazy. But if you view it from the perspective of like you're still swallowing it. So they would have this feast of St. Francis, and this is when I was going to Catholic school. I was like 8 years old. And this this priest, the deal is you would bring your pet from home, and he would actually do this blessing of it, which sounds sort of dorky. But if, like, you're a kid, and again, you're a kid, and you believe the Catholic Church to be true, then you think that's sort of awesome, because it's kind of like being given a little flak jacket, you know? Like, here, a little cloak of imperviousness from the Lord. And so you'd bring your pet, and he would go like da-da-da-da, and he would, like, do the thing of, like, sprinkling the holy water on it. Bam, one blessed pet. You know, and you go like, that's great. Now Rusty can just run in the streets with impunity or whatever. And for whatever reason, for reasons that escape me now, and I can't remember why, but I was not able to bring my hamster to school that day. I had a hamster. Ask me his name.
What was his name?
His name was Chum.
Oh.
And so I had this hamster, and I can't remember why, but I think it's like I had to take the bus that day, or it's like, or somebody dropped me off. My mom wasn't able to take me to school or whatever. Or maybe she normally took me to school, but I had something or other. But I couldn't get the hamster there. And so I stood in line like a jackass for like an hour and a half with all of these other kids who all have their pets. And I don't mean this to sound like a sad story, because it's really not. It's just one of those stories that put me off the path of Catholicism. I get all the way to the front, and I say to the priest with the little water shaker thing, I go, hey, so I left my hamster at home. Wasn't able to bring him here. But, you know, can you bless a pet that's not here? And he just said, no. And I remember thinking, well, hold on. I mean, that doesn't really work, because the power to bless the pet is presumably coming from God, who's also, like, not here. Because
yeah.
If he was here, and I don't mean he's not here like he doesn't exist. I mean, like, again, from the believing in Catholicism point of view, I was thinking, well, we know God isn't here, because if God was actually here, we wouldn't need you here to act as his proxy. So the fact that you're here is some sort of super Dave. To his Jeffrey Tambor, it implies that God is off on, like, important business. Like, he's in a meeting somewhere. Like, he's at a planning session. Mm-hmm. And so you're here. So therefore, he, by definition, doesn't need to be anywhere near the pet. It's not like Bluetooth, where if he gets more than 30 feet away, it just stops working. And so that was, as dumb as it sounds, that was one of the first cracks in my Catholicism. When he couldn't bless my hamster, who was just, like, a few blocks that way. And so I was just embittered for the rest of the day. So why are we talking about pets? Oh, the rapture.
Craigslist rapture.
So, you know.
They do a blessing of the animals at the grotto here in Portland every year in July.
Is that like the church does it, or?
Yeah. Yeah. It's an actual, they have an actual ecumenical service.
Yeah.
And they have.
Well, that's what this was.
The priest comes out and you got his little tea cozy thing that he shakes the water on your pets. And it's really interesting because I went to it once when I was writing for a newspaper. And you get like people with dogs and cats. There were people with snakes. People with all kinds of animals.
Oh, yeah. No, my friend Rob brought his box turtles. And he was this priest going in like, Dominus, Apatris, whatever, ta-doom with the water. And it was weird to see like an actual, I went through this, there was a feast, the feast of St. Blaise, who is she's the patron saint of like speech or something. And there was a whole ritual you would do for that, where you would stand in line in church like you're going to get the communion wafer or something. But instead, they just take these two long, thin candles. And I swear to God, it's like, what's his name? It's like Count Duco is about to behead you. They just cross them like, and your neck kind of goes in the crook of them. And it's just like he's about to go like, you know, unlimited power! Whoa, or whatever. Yeah. I'm crossing my Star Wars things, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It was all very weird. Catholics are effed, man.
Yeah.
All right, and spooky. Mm-hmm. All right, that was our internet music. So I'm going to see, we should see later if that Craigslist ad has propagated itself. Because I like that guy.
Huh.
We should contact him later and ask him if he'll come out and tell us if he's gotten anything.
Okay.
Maybe like a little rapture sex, too. Could have gotten that, you know? Just like on the last train out of town.
Although I don't think that would work, because I think that people who were like hoping to be part of the rapture might not want to, you know,
that's true. Maybe
endanger
it
in any way.
Maybe like the post rapture.
Yeah, so you'd have the post rapture. Yes. All these people going and I guess I can do anything I want now.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's do our clown watch.
Here is your clown watch for... somebody says, post-rapture will be filled with sluts. I can't wait. Now, that's true. That is a scientific fact. Here's your clown watch for Thursday, right here on the Rick Emerson radio program.
An Oklahoma man is in custody after he allegedly ran another man down with a car while wearing black and white clown-type makeup.
Black and white clown makeup.
What could that be? Bartlesville, Oklahoma Police Department Captain Jay Hastings said it is still unknown at this point why he was wearing makeup. When our guys got him, he was wearing clown makeup. As a result of the incident, 20-year-old Andrew Joseph Davis faces charges of assault and battery with a deadly weapon and leaving the scene of an injury accident. The police were summoned to the area at 10 p.m. on Tuesday, where police apparently found reportedly found the victim lying on the ground. Witnesses told authorities the victim was walking northbound on the west side of the street when a black two-door car swerved toward the victim, striking him. The report states that after the vehicle struck the victim, he was dragged approximately 100 feet into his other neighbor's yard. The witness said while this was happening, the two occupants of the vehicle were yelling, "Whoop, whoop." After hitting the man, the driver of the car reportedly backed the vehicle up before speeding away. Witnesses contend the car had been seen earlier in the evening driving slowly past the house. Witnesses also noted the driver was wearing black and white face paint. A short time later, police stopped a car matching the description and found the driver, Davis, was wearing black and white clown-like face paint.
And this was in what city?
This was in Bartlesville, Oklahoma.
So even in Oklahoma, I mean, especially in a place like Oklahoma, you would figure that they would have juggalos, like, because that's where, because it is towns like that where you really, where things like that flourish, where you can inject a little excitement into your small, miserable Midwest existence.
And the chief of police, no fool, Chief of Police Tom Holland, said today, "The only people that I know that drive around with clown face makeup is the insane clown posse. This looks like a juggalo. We need to dig further on this thing."
Did he put it in like air quotes?
Yes, it's in quotation. "This looks like a juggalo."
I was waiting for him to say that it was some sort of like a copycat. You know, it's like that he suspected it wasn't the actual insane clown posse, but may in fact have been an imitator and someone impersonating them.
And there is a mugshot of the fellow in his all sweaty and sad and obviously having wrestled with the cops a bit. When he was getting arrested, so his makeup's a little smeared.
What with the beating by the police, and I'll get that posted. That's going to be in like 10 seconds. You'll be able to see that at rickemerson.com/pictures. Visual aids for May 12th. That is rickemerson.com/pictures. Visual aids for May 12th. Oh, he looks very sad.
Yeah. Doesn't he?
He's crying on the outside and the inside.
Yeah, he's a sad clown.
Okay. Well, I mentioned, I think I said that he looked a little bit like Court if he was like 20 and a juggalo and had been beaten by cops. Because one eye sort of seems to be swollen shut a little bit.
Yeah.
The great thing about makeup is it hides bruising.
He's no longer yelling, "Whoop, whoop."
Was he the lone clown in the car?
I don't know. I think that he's the only one they caught. It said that there were two occupants of the vehicle yelling, "Whoop, whoop." So,
wonder if they were doing it in tandem.
They said they found the driver was wearing black and white clown face makeup. So, I have no idea.
The captions for the visual aids there are great, especially because it's all written as one. They're all written as one big word. "Pole in the head" is the first, and this one is just "juggalo mugshot." Juggalo mugshot. Doesn't that sound like it ought to be a sort of like it's like detachable penis? Juggalo mugshot.
That could be our Mountain Dew flavor.
Juggalo mugshot. Is it? You know, I'm surprised there isn't like a, maybe there is at this point, a Juggalo branded Faygo drink.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like the Faygo people, unless they figure that the value comes from it being not overt. In other words, that it happened sort of organically. It was sort of a grassroots thing. If they figure if it looks like they're doing
commercialized.
It. If they don't want to sell out.
No.
Brother's got to keep it real. A clown, a clown got to eat, but you have to, you know, but he has to.
Juggalos have integrity, yo.
There's clown rep. And
and the juggalettes.
Somebody,
let's not forget the juggalettes.
Juggalo mugshot tastes like chlamydia. Whoop, whoop. Are you sure it wasn't the Dr. Demento posse?
I love Thursdays.
Oh, my God. All right. That's fantastic. Okay. Did the cop take off his sunglasses when he said juggalo? Oh, my God.
It's okay. Juggalo.
Did you see the Obama meme that was him doing the Caruso thing?
No.
Oh, my God. It was It was the four shots. He was doing the thing, you know. One of Obama holding the sunglasses. One of him getting ready to apply the sunglasses. One of them putting on the sunglasses, you know, with the sunglasses on. And then the final shot was like the White House, and it said "wah," you know, across the top, and they were doing the thing. But it was about Bin Laden. I don't have it in front of me, but it was something about as for Bin Laden, and then he's picking up the sunglasses. I guess you could say, and then as he puts on the sunglasses, he goes, "His fate has been sealed." And then it cuts to the, you know, wah, which is awesome.
My favorite of those was the picture of George Bush standing there with the mission accomplished sign with him, with Obama photoshopped him just like photo bombing, you know, Bush in front of him, like, hey.
It's good times. Can I just say this, just on a not even a serious note, but just on that note, on a note of world. Well, let me close the clown watch. On a note of whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop.
Yelling whoop whoop. What happened to the other guy? He's not dead, is he?
We don't know what happened to the other guy. They failed to mention the other guy.
I feel bad about laughing if you've been whooped to death, you know, by this guy.
The fellow who was run over and dragged by the car, by the way, was transported to the emergency room where he was treated for, quote, multiple bleeding abrasions to his entire body.
But there's no death in the story, just a lot of scraping.
No, a lot of scraping.
Okay.
And whooping.
Can I just say that this is just a side note, not to get all like serious about whatever, but the thing about George Bush, you know, here's the thing. I'm all for division and polarization and whatever. But doesn't it seem to you, because I've said before that, you know, that George Bush always struck me as in just regular life, just as a guy. He just never struck me as an overtly bad guy himself. Dumb, easily manipulated, sharing my opinion on almost nothing, but didn't seem like a bad person. Didn't it seem like if there was ever going to be like an actual moment of like real, like legitimate unity as opposed to just a thing you use as a campaign shill?
Yeah.
It would have been the moment when he was sort of there, not overshadowing, not trying to step in the limelight of, but just sort of there accompanying Obama at Ground Zero, sort of a, you know, and then just doing kind of a well done and then like a little bit of a high five.
Yeah.
And then everybody gets a cheeseburger, you know. That would have been, I mean, even as cynical as I get, as jaded as I can be about politics, that would have been legitimately great. That would have been like, that would have been an authentic America F yeah moment. If they had just, you know, had it been standing there together to, you know, sort of a, you know, like a one thing we can all agree on, and then, you know, ba 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 ba, that would have been great. So that's a moment we all missed.
That would have shown a level of grace that most Republicans don't seem to be capable.
Well, it's not just the Republicans. I don't think the Democrats probably didn't want him there either, unless it was to overshadow him and to make him look like some sort of a boob who couldn't get the job done. I mean, the Democrats were probably they're no more blameless than the Republicans are. It's just nobody wants their guy to share the spotlight with the other guy. So, you know, I'm just saying, whoop, whoop. That's really what I'm saying. I'm going to end all my statements with that today.
As a member of the Parents Television Council, Barbara Warburton's goal is to do whatever it takes to keep children from watching television programs that will correct and damage their tiny little brains.
Take out their eyes with an ice cream scoop.
Such as Family Guy, in which her son is a member. Her son Patrick Warburton voices the character Joe Swanson, the paralyzed cop. Warburton, the Lady Warburton, says, "The wrong messages are out there, and that's my main concern. Shows like these are heading toward the destruction of morality. Nothing seems sacred anymore."
So they're actually now they're married. It's not like they're not like.
No, it's his mom.
Oh, it's his. Okay,
it was his mother. She said described her son as a compassionate, wonderful, caring, and sincere person. And she said that she doesn't approve of some of the roles he's chosen over the years. He is Patrick has also appeared in Seinfeld, The Tick, Rules of Engagement, and The Bee Movie. She said she has never watched an episode of Family Guy, of course.
She knows what it's like, though.
But she has read both show reviews and episode capsules. She says, "I have highly encouraged him to quit the show, but it hasn't been successful yet. I've always adored people in this industry who turn down roles because of their convictions, but Patrick isn't one of those people." It's a dichotomy we have where he wants to do shows and work with people that offend God. I don't want to offend God.
That's really his criteria for choosing a role. Does it offend God? No, I'm sorry. I'll have to turn this down.
She said she is a former actress herself, apparently. And she said that her son says it's a business decision. He says it's not his fault that parents let their kids watch the program. Many parents do keep an eye and supervise what their kids watch, but many parents don't.
So she basically read a recap on like Television Without Pity at one point and went, well, this seems crude.
Yeah, and she's a member of the Parents Television Council, and it's her. And they're the nutty right wing Christian folks. They're not like the family television.
See, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, there is a responsible group that does things like help develop Gilmore Girls,
right,
and stuff like that. No,
this is not them.
No, this is the crazy Christian one.
Oh, I see. This is like a James Dobson style. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
After giving this interview, apparently having read this interview, Seth MacFarlane offered a statement up that was printed in the Hollywood Reporter, in which he said, "Oh yeah, that's like getting hate mail from Hitler. They're literally terrible human beings. I've read their newsletter, I've visited their website, and they're just rotten to the core. For an organization that prides itself on Christian values, I mean, I'm an atheist, so what do I know? They spend their entire day hating people."
Excellent. Good for you, Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah.
Well done. That is a guy that every time I see him interviewed, I feel worse and worse about the time when I just sort of disliked him for no reason. Just because when my first few exposures to Family Guy, I've come around on that show a lot, but initially I didn't care for Family Guy at all, and so as a result, I just disliked him without actually knowing anything about him. I was actually sort of pulling a Ms. Warburton because the show just wasn't to my taste, and so I was immediately going to like disproportionate dislike of him, and then I saw him interviewed on he was on Dinner for Five, and he was just and this is some years ago, but I mean this is like in maybe 2002, and he was just the coolest guy, and every interview I've seen, I mean nothing he has said since then has ever done anything to diminish his stature as just a great guy, and a guy who from all appearances anyway, embodies exactly the sort of attitude that you should have if you're going to make, that you're going to make entertainment. You get the sense that he's doing what he does for himself and for his coworkers and for his audience, and that everybody else can kind of get bent if they don't like it. And he's not breaking into their homes and making them watch it, but he's also not going to. But he's also going to. I was going to say respectfully disagree with him. He respectfully disagrees until that is no longer called for, and then he calls a spade, and that is the way it's got to be done. So good for you, Seth MacFarlane. And so he says about the idea that kids are going to be watching Family Guy. He says, yes, kids love to watch shows that are nothing but endless streams of vague references to obscure pop culture items from their parents' childhood. They can't get enough of it. That's the other thing. I would imagine that Family Guy's core audience is probably 25 and up, and that's skewing low, I would imagine. My guess would be the average Family Guy, like P1, the average hardcore viewer is probably over 30, which is one of the reasons that show came back, even though it was so phenomenally expensive to make, because they know that demographic has lots of money. So anyway, good for you. Let's do one more, and then we'll take a little whoop whoop break.
Well, speaking of hate mail from Hitler, let's do our Nazi watch.
Hate mail from Hitler. Let's see. Somebody should do one of those sort of zany, like, fake letters books that were all the rage back in the 90s, but like hate mail from Hitler.
Hate mail from Hitler.
All right. Let's see. Nazi watch. Here's your Nazi watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
In a Munich court, retired U.S. auto worker John Demjanjuk was convicted of thousands of... Demjanjuk.
I was trying to do an Anyang thing. It didn't really work, though.
Demjanjuk.
No, I got nothing.
He was convicted of thousands of counts of acting as an accessory to murder at a Nazi death camp, and he was sentenced today to 5 years in prison, a groundbreaking verdict that closed out a chapter in a decades-long legal battle. Demjanjuk was found guilty of 28,060 counts of being accessory to murder, one for each person who died during the time he was ruled to have been a guard at the Sobibor camp in Nazi-occupied Poland. Photographers began snapping a flurry of pictures as he entered the courtroom in Berlin. Demjanjuk, who is now 91 years old, was hunched over in a wheelchair with dark glasses and a hat. He said nothing, only occasionally lifting his left hand.
I bet he did. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. You think you just avoid lifting one of your hands at all, or lift both hands, Just don't. Gestures would be avoided, I think, if I were on trial for being, And just, well, let me just play this.
I guess that's the.
The sound of one hand lifting?
Those are the cameras snapping and the hand lifting.
Okay.
All right.
But think about. Think about this story, the implications of the story that you're reading right now. I mean, this has become a thing that is referenced so frequently on the internet that it's almost lost its punch. But I mean, there's got to be few worse things in the world than a jury actually retiring to the deliberation room, coming back in, and then saying, yes, you are in fact a Nazi. I mean, not a figurative Nazi, not a message board Nazi.
Actual Nazi.
Not a soup Nazi. You've actually been—I mean, there's probably scant few people on Earth right now that have actually had that condemnation put on them, where the government actually just says that, yes, you are in fact a Nazi.
Yeah. He's denied the charges, and his son says the defense would appeal. The judge ordered that Demjanjuk be freed during his appeal, which will likely take 6 months or more. Such release isn't unusual in Germany, and the judge also said that he didn't float a pose a flight risk because, you know, he's 91 and in a wheelchair.
Somebody has noted that he had 28,000 counts and only got 5 years.
Yeah, it seems like...
Well, he's white. You know. I mean, it's, you know, let's be honest.
Yeah. Well, it's not like he was holding cocaine in the United States.
Yes.
Yeah, this isn't something that's a serious crime.
He's not from Oakland.
Yeah.
I mean, what do we expect?
Charges of accessory to murder carry a maximum term of 15 years in Germany, which does not allow consecutive sentences for multiple counts of the same crime.
Oh, so is that why?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's because they're all running concurrently.
Right.
So it's like 28,000 counts, but you serve them all at the same moment.
Yeah, it's not like here where we go, you were sentenced to 1,000,000 years in jail, but you could get out in like three.
Somebody's suggesting, this is not me, by the way, this is just somebody suggesting a surefire bestseller called Are You There, God? It's Me, Hitler. Where Hitler approaches issues like buying his first bra or dealing with his first menstrual cycle. Okay, there you go. There's your... I'll let someone else write that book. There's your Nazi watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
I just got an email from AT&T asking me if I would like to add a line to my account and buy a white iPhone.
Well, of course you would, Don. Wait, are they asking if you want to add a line to your account just so you can have a second iPhone?
I think so,
not
yeah.
Like, you know, would somebody in your home like one, or would a family member or
no.
a friend? Just would you like to have two iPhones so you've got one for every outfit?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, all right. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for joining us. It's now I'm just picturing like a little cartoon Hitler, like as though he were drawn by Mike Russell, you know, going, and I do not know where to find my first box of teenage softies. That's the brand that she uses in Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Yeah.
Why do I know that? Why did I read Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret?
I don't know. I am so confused because my body is changing, except I make my guy Mexican. I don't know why. Mexican Hitler says, I have just started my period. Yavol.
That's like the worst one of those things called, they're not the speak and spell, but it's the thing where you point the arrow and the cow says... You know, or whatever. Yeah. What are those things called?
They were like the speak and spell. They were the cow one. So I think they were called speak and spell even with the cow.
No, the speak and spell is that's the keyboard. That's the thing that ET had.
Crap.
It was like a see and say.
See and say.
Is
yes,
that it?
That was it.
So you're see and say. Mexican Hitler says. Okay.
He's off to the showers with you.
That's French. He's not even Mexican anymore. Strangely, vaguely European, Hitler says.
Jacques Hitler.
And let's be honest, the French Hitler wouldn't send anybody to a shower, Don.
No.
Ah! Because they smell.
You must eat the stinky cheese.
We should go to a break now.
In Siberia.
Quit talking. Back after this.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
White lipstick and one thing on their mind. Hey, little freak with the lunch pail purse. Underneath the paint, you're just a little girl. Dancing at the zombie zoo. Dancing at the zombie zoo. Painted in a corner, and all you wanna do is dance down at the zombie zoo. Out. How come you back a ride? Is your mother in a clinic? Is your father got no job? Sometimes you're so impulsive. You shaved off all your hair. You look like Boris Karloff, and you don't even care. You're dancing at the zombie zoo. Dancing at the zombie zoo. Painted in a corner. Sunrise, I wonder where she goes until the night.
unseen. You might wind up restricted and over 17. It's so hard to be careful, so easy to be led. Somewhere beyond the pavement, you'll find the living dead. Dancing at the zombie zoo. She disappears at sunrise. I don't know where she goes until the night comes falling down again. She shows up where the friends have a line. Dancing at the zombie zoo. Dancing at the zombie zoo. Painted in a corner.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. It is 503-505-6964. 503-505-6964. Don't forget to join us tomorrow when our guest will include Mr. Big Jim Willig. Be in the studio with another installment of Humor Me, Comedy 101. That is coming up tomorrow, Friday, on the Rick Emerson radio program. Do you feel better or worse or about the same as you did, like, let's say, 3 hours ago?
Well, I feel a little bit better, but I also, like, took 1.5 Vicodin.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, you know, that'll make anything feel better, but I do still feel like I'm definitely running a fever, which is kind of a strange sensation to reach up and touch my forehead and go, oh, what do you know? Hot.
Now, it doesn't seem like you should be able to detect your own fever, though, because your whole body temperature should be going up. In other words, relatively within your body should all be the same.
Yeah, but generally, I think if you touch the back of your hand to your forehead, you can, like, if your palms or your hands are warm, you might not be able to tell, but...
Just maybe your extremities are always at a slightly cooler temperature than the rest of you.
Probably.
Maybe.
Yet another question for Thomas Gill.
That and the... Do you want to just ask? I mean,
sure.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't really know. I need to ask... We need to find some sort of... Can I just say, just as a side note before I even...
Okay.
You know what I love about this audience, other than, like, everything, is the fact that occasionally I see this. First of all, a statement that a text that begins with an ellipsis. So well done to you. But it just says this. It just says, ellipsis, I should add that I'm black and not a giant racist. So...
Well, you know, one is not exclusive of the other.
You
could be black and a giant racist.
It's almost a... It's almost funnier if I don't actually even give the previous statement as to, like, why that – if I don't give the statement that then apparently in his or her mind required this statement to be made. It doesn't matter. Anyway, I'm getting lost inside my own I'm getting sidetracked inside my sidetracks.
Well, here, as an aside, just so you know that when we're on a break, Rick and I do one of two things. We either – just talk to each other the same way we talk to each other when we're on the air, or more often than not, we don't say anything. We both just retreat into
stare at each other in a steely silence.
We retreat into our own little worlds of staring at our laptops until such time as I spill food on myself and he just arches an eyebrow at me and giggles. But in this case, we were actually talking much the same way as you hear us when we're on the air. And I was wondering about the fellow who jumped from the building in Dubai, because he jumped from the 147th floor, landed on the 101st floor. So that's 46 floors. That's that'll kill you nice and dead. But I just wondered, like, if you managed to make it all the way from the top, from like 159 floors or 147 or whatever, all the way to the ground, you know, how badly you would splatter. And then we got into the whole talk about, you know, terminal velocity, and we couldn't remember at what point you would reach terminal velocity.
And I think because it's
we agreed that we're sure the audience would know this, like, immediately, so.
This is one of those things that I knew until you actually asked me about it, and then the number fell out of my head. Because there's the objects, you know, I'm just puzzling my way through this minefield of science and just in math.
Yeah. But there's this exponential thing where...
It's like 82 feet per second per second.
Yeah, and it...
Until it reaches terminal velocity,
and then
which
you just
is,
can't go any faster than that.
And that's barring outside external influence, you know, like wind or, you know, other sort of, you know, friction, resistance, that it reaches a terminal velocity after which the speed of acceleration no longer... There is no more acceleration. The speed, its velocity does not increase. And so I guess we got two different... I guess we got like three different questions here. So acceleration due to gravity is 10 meters per second per second. Okay, that's about 38 feet per second per second. So that's the first question. The second question, which I think is basically you just asking, if a normal guy just fell 46 floors, how thin would he be once he was on the ground? Would he be like your Christmas cookie dough rolled very, very thin on the breadboard?
Well, I'm just imagining a smaller version of the whale exploding on the Oregon coast with like just
different direction.
It would all be going like straight out at like curb level.
A lateral explosion.
Yeah. So you instead of it like falling on the top of your car if you were parked nearby,
your ankles would be drenched.
Yeah, and it would be all over like your hubcaps and the underside of your axles.
Okay. This has been added. Terminal velocity also depends on altitude, since wind drag resistance would vary. But Dubai seems like an arid, dry place. Not a lot of wind probably happening there.
But again, the higher up you get, the more wind you have.
That is true. Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing. The only time we ever had any sort of the firsthand evidence of this, I mean, you know, like I guess secondhand, but I mean sort of relatively up close, is when that guy tossed himself out the Paramount, I don't know, like 3 years ago, something like that. And I wasn't there, but a friend of the show happened to be... shouldn't laugh, it's not funny. But I mean, happened to be taking... But you don't expect this. Just like the Spanish Inquisition, no one expects to be going to Starbucks, which he was. Well, I guess I'll get a double tall Frappuccino and, you know, and literally the guy like landed like right there. And I waited, and he was disconcerted by that, because I think he actually heard like the kind of the onomatopoetically, he heard the wrinkling tinkling of the glass, and then he looked up, and it was impressive because the guy really had to work to break that glass, because up on like the 80th floor of the Paramount or whatever, however high it is, it's like thick ass. I mean, it's made so you can't open it or break it. So the guy did it by like hitting it with a chair and then like throwing a lamp through it. Anyway, he jumps out and he's like, what's that sound? And then he looks up, perhaps expecting Kirk Cameron to come down and sweep him toward the heavenly host in a fiery embrace. And instead, he just sees this guy coming right out of the top of the Paramount, hits the ground right in front of him. And kind of right in front of him. And I waited the appropriate number of weeks, you know, because he was not... that put a damper on his week. And I said, so, forgive me for asking. And he goes, he was all messed up. He actually just said... What did he say? He goes, that actually covers a wider area than you would imagine. And I can imagine, and that's not like in Dubai, and that wasn't 46 floors. I mean, it really was only like 18 floors up or something.
I remember the first time I saw one of the newer, more graphic TV shows like CSI or Bones, and they did an episode where someone had jumped or been thrown out a window and fallen from a very much height onto the top of a car, and of course had landed and dented in the whole time of the car. And it was the first time I ever saw what looked like what would actually be an accurate representation of when something like that happened, because they almost always previous TV shows and movies have always posed bodies rather artfully.
Right.
And the bones are bent like still in the same positions that elbows and knees would bend in life. And that's not necessarily the case if you fall from like 20 stories and land on the flat on the roof of a sedan.
Well, bodies were sort of orientated like chalk drawings. You know, that's kind of what they looked like, even if a guy had, jumped off the top of a skyscraper.
I saw one of these shows, and they showed, like, an overhead shot of the body on the car, and it was just all bent in all the wrong positions. And I thought, that actually is more like it would probably be.
Well, and especially with a lot of – I'm not trying to horrify everybody, but this is just –
but we are endlessly fascinated by
that's the thing. There are several – well, what is it in his book, in that memoir on writing, Stephen King talks about he says he has interests. I won't quite call them obsessions. And, you know, it's like the thing about Pandora's techno box and just, you know, and the restorative power of the imagination and the difference between children and adults or whatever. And we have several – recurring themes and interests on the show. One of them is like, look at this guy. His face is all messed up from this power saw that went right through his ear. So we have a definitive answer on some of this here that we'll get to in a second. But but here's the other thing. It's like usually in those buildings, almost never do you hit the ground uninterrupted. There's usually something, because you don't fall on a straight line either. I mean, you would fall on a straight line if you were not acted upon by an outside force. That's like the whole Newtonian whatever. But there's wind, and again, there's updrafts, and there's whatever. And plus, there's like balconies and canopies and, you know, a taxi cab. There was this... This is a site that I no longer go to because I have not that I've matured. Clearly, I have not. But I've just found different outlets for my retarded juvenile behavior. But when I was first on the internet, like a lot of people, when I was first on the internet, as you know, the World Wide Web as we know it now, as a young man, for many months, possibly a year, like I would just boot up my computer in the morning or whatever, and it was like my home screen was just rotten.com. And it would just be like, what's this?
Yeah.
It's a man put through a threshing machine. Fantastic. But there was like some guy who decided to jump, and he had hit like, it was in New York, and he'd hit like one of those like K carriages that the horses draw around Central Park for you and your beloved. And he'd like hit one of the, he'd missed the horse, thankfully, but he'd hit like the carriage part. And so it was like just his arm was going for a carriage ride. The rest of him was on the ground. So that, I would imagine that happens a lot too.
Well, we'd had a conversation a couple of months ago where I was surprised you had never heard of the Body Farm at the University of Tennessee.
Yeah, no.
And I had heard about it, but I really read about it more extensively. There's an entire chapter about it in Mary Roach's book, Stiff. And there was just this season, I think it was, an episode of Bones, where for some reason they end up needing to go talk to, because, oh, they actually, somebody obviously, if you write for a show like Bones, you're going to be fascinated by this stuff. They found a body that wasn't supposed to be at the Body Farm, at the Body Farm.
Awesome.
And had to go there. And of course, the whole thing is the character of Temperance Brennan, Bones, she's a forensic anthropologist. So she's so excited and fascinated to be at the Body Farm. And she's just running around going, oh, wow, and they've left this one out on the ground so they can see how long it takes for insects to infest it. Ooh, and this, and there's, and David Boreanaz, what, there's a car? Why is there a body? So, well, obviously it's to see how long it, what the effect would be of long-term being trapped in a car in an arid environment. Like, oh, it's a shed and there's a body hanging from the shed to see. And he's just walking around with a handkerchief over his mouth just going,
right,
because it's just nothing but a whole place that's just bodies laying around decomposing.
Now, did you say that that there was a documentary or that there was something you'd seen about that? Because I'd never even heard of it.
I can't remember where I first heard about it. Like I said, there is an entire chapter about it in Mary Rich's book, Stiff, which is a great book.
Is it a novel?
No, it's Mary Rich writes nonfiction books on very specific. She wrote one about sex, but the best one of the book, she just wrote one about space travel and the space race and research into space stuff. But her best one, I think, was Stiff, which is just all about death. And she goes to the Body Farm in one chapter. In another, she used to write for, was it Wired? She wrote for one of, you know, she is a nonfiction journalist. And in one of them, she goes to, one of the chapters was fascinating. She went to a place where they train people to do plastic surgery. And it was a, I think it was like, it was a test. I think it was like a final exam. And it was an entire room full of severed heads. And they actually had to perform plastic surgery procedures on actual human severed heads.
Okay, so like you'd have to do like an ear tuck or like
right.
a rhinoplasty or something.
And she's a lot like you and I, is that she has these things that go through her head and then she talks about them. And it's like as she was getting there, she's thinking, whose job was it to do this?
Right.
To go get the severed heads, and because each, there's a pedestal. Each doctor had a pedestal with like a white tablecloth
on weird.
It and a head sitting on it. So whose job was it
the
to go
adjuster.
Get the heads and bring out the heads and set up the heads? So, yeah. So the whole book is about stuff like
okay,
that.
Okay, I'm totally going to read that.
And, yeah, there's a whole chapter about the Body
okay,
Farm.
Okay, did you read – did I ever lend you my copy of, or did you read Blood Secrets?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
yeah.
By Rod Englert?
Yeah,
yeah,
that
the Dexter
great.
Guy, which is, you know, one of the guys who started like forensic pathology in terms of like blood spatter and whatever. So if anybody ever wants to sort of, you know, it sounds so trite to say the real life Dexter, but I mean, that's basically the thing. And he talked about just being in his barn with like barrels of like, you know, cow blood or something from the butcher shop and going, well, what if I used a mallet and then also a garden hose to beat a guy to death? And then would you do it against a sheet?
And using the high school kids to say, okay, here's this weird blood spatter pattern that we don't know what it is. Could you guys try to figure it out? Here's some blood.
And
go drag things through blood.
And not just a blood spatter pattern, Bob Crane.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, there's this mark on Bob Crane's, you know, bloody shirt. We can't, yeah. You guys, kids figure it out. And
then they figure out it was like the coiled cord.
It was the plugs at the end of a camera light, an external light on a camera, and it plugs into.
And it had been dragged across his shirt, so it gave this little two dash.
It looked like little snake bites almost.
Yeah, little two dash pattern.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's this great picture of Rod Englert, who looks like he kind of looks like I don't know, he looks a little bit like Richard Attenborough, but it's like him and then this like this grinning like 16-year-old high school girl, and they're holding up like a blood-soaked shirt and just smiling at the camera and they're just giving like a thumbs up, and it's awesome.
He also says something in there, I think, about getting a talking to from like the principal of the school, because he was having them like reenact death scenes on the front steps of like Jefferson High School.
He had two high school students reenacting the OJ, what he believed to be the way that the OJ murders went down. And so he was like having them act. He's like, okay, so my theory is that the killer came from behind a shrub and then stabbed her in the eye and then, you know, and then came back. So do that right now. And then he would, like, cover
them in
blood.
They brought a dog in and had the dog run
the blood.
Yeah.
We should have him on the show at some point. He lives here. We had him on Outlook Portland, and he and I, we have a mutual friend. So here's, this is, okay, here's somebody we should have on the show at some point. I swear to God, we'll get off the thing here in a second. So I first met Rod Englert, who wrote, again, this book called Blood Secrets. And I think there's a couple books with that title, but you want it, it's the one that's, you know, it's criminal pathology. I met him because we have a friend in common. And the friend in common is, it's, I swear to you, it's like the I don't want to give her name, but the, because I'll, if we have her on the show at some point, I'll introduce her. I'll just say that she has a name that, I don't mean to be that guy, but she has a name that sounds like she should be either a superhero or a porn star. Also, she's hot. Also, she's a crime scene photographer. And so that is how – and so she is his – because as she noted, she said, you know, real – she actually said – she goes, real Dexters don't take their own photographs. So she is actually the – or was for a long time. She was the sort of assigned photographer to Rod Englert. So they would go to a crime scene. And Englert's whole thing was he would sit there and, like, take in the crime scene and go, okay, we'll get a picture of that wall. And so he would actually tell her what to photograph, and she would do the photography because she said it's a very specialized kind of photography. And she's like, the crime guys don't have time to take in the photographs. Like, they tell us, and then they're busy hanging strings or whatever. So she's this hot chick who's a crime scene photographer. And I kept telling him, like, we got to get you on the show one of these days. And she's like, well, just drop me an email. So I'm going to do that at some point, and we'll get her on. Okay, so I'm going to read the definitive answer here in some ways anyway. Let's see. This says all right, hold on, let me find the it is estimated that the human body reaches 99% of terminal velocity after falling 1,880 feet, which takes anywhere from 10 to 14 seconds. With normal posture and normal atmospheric pressure, this is a speed between 117 and 125 miles an hour, or approximately 54 meters per second. Another source states that a human would have to fall over 400 yards, which is 1,200 feet, prior to achieving terminal velocity. Now, a building story is approximately 12.5 feet. Using the lower number of 1,200 feet and the very basic information above, you would have to fall from approximately the 96th floor balcony to achieve terminal velocity. So for most people to reach terminal velocity, you would have to jump from the 96th floor building. So I think he would – so I don't know how that – he would be going very fast, but yeah, not terminal velocity. But, you know, but I mean it's still 40 – I mean I would imagine – I mean the guy downtown again was at 18 floors, and that's less than half. So I would imagine that it's probably the damage increases exponentially.
But if you actually managed to, like, you know, the wind was such and everything worked out that you were able to jump from the 147th floor and make it all the way down to the bottom.
Yes.
You would have reached terminal velocity, which means whatever it means.
And then whoever had three blocks in the pool wins for
yeah.
that day. It is the what? Somebody, this statement just says, "I hate you both." I don't even know why now. That's the thing. This statement could be in reference to so many things. It could be referring to the entire program for all we know.
We need one show where we just talk about kittens and and nice things. Well, we're not that interested in nice things.
This, by the way, is from, and I for some reason I've minimized the part where it has the name. So I don't have the name of the person here. No, I got nothing. But I will read. This is the person who said the thing about I should add that I'm black and not a giant racist. And then she typed an increasingly sort of strident series of things saying, read the one before that. Read it. Give the statement. I will now read the entire chain. I'll read the chain of comments just as they came in. So this is from, and again, I've minimized the name thing, but this is from listeners, whoever. It started because we were talking about the white iPhone, and they were like pitching you another iPhone, and I'm like, so you could just have, you know, the black one and the white one, and you know, what's the point? So the chain of messages went like this: the white iPhone is superior and won't lower property values. 2 minutes later, ellipsis: I should add that I'm black and not a giant racist. Later. Read the first statement about the iPhone. Read it! Then, later, I didn't mean being black, man, I'm not racist. My mother's a big-time racist. Followed by, I hate you both. And then she just logged off.
Oh. There we go.
Wait, no, she's back.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't understand anything.
In the nice file, though, I will say I just saw this on Facebook just from like an hour ago. Our listener, Chris Biggie Sweet, says on Facebook, Thank you, Rick Emerson, Don Taylor, Sarah X. Dillon, and Greg Nibbler for making me laugh every day. You make work even more fun for me.
Ah, even more fun. What does he do?
I guess he likes what he does. I don't know what he does. Probably says on Facebook. Because everybody just tells you everything on Facebook. So let's see. Find his information.
Speaking of liking what you do, so you remember at the beginning of the show I said, hey, there's that MMO for furries called Furcadia?
Oh, he's a director of admissions at a university.
Wow.
Maybe you could help me get a college education.
In just a few hours a week,
I could get a real job.
You could get a degree in TV VCR repair. So at the top of the show, I mentioned Furcadia, which is apparently an MMO for furries. Yeah. Small world. One of our listeners says, I make money off Furcadia players. I draw their characters for them. Oh, what a small world.
Oh.
So there you go. All right.
Listen up. If you want a picture of yourself as a fox with boobs, we know a guy who can do that for you.
Okay. Here's Don Taylor.
And now, from the news desk, this is Don Taylor.
I think it's more than time for a penis watch.
Of course. Let's see. Where the hell? Hold on a second. Wait. Oh, there we go.
Take a look.
It's your penis watch for
enormous penis. And my troubles start melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Here's Don Taylor with your penis watch for Thursday.
So I have three penis watch stories in here. I'm going to give you your choice. You can hear the unfortunate medical penis story. The violent crime penis story, or the celebrity penis story.
So now we're going to do one of the three?
Yes.
Okay. Violent crime penis, violent crime celebrity. What was the other one?
Medical mishap.
What's the difference? Okay. So one is you went in for a thing, and they gave you another thing. The other one is I've got a knife.
And the other one is a famous person.
Let's go celebrity.
Okay. Ex Guns N' Roses. Ex-Guns and Roses drummer Steven Adler was apparently devastated, he says, after he got a glimpse of Steven Tyler's penis while the latter was entertaining several ladies at once. He was joking to TMZ during an interview on his tour bus, "Those extending pills don't work. I've tried them." Now, after seeing Steven's rig with five different girls' hands wrapped around it, I'm lucky if I take my clothes off at all after that. I was devastated.
I wish I had not heard this story. I immediately regret choosing this story.
Steven Tyler, who once boasted he'd never been turned down by anyone he attempted to charm into bed, claimed chicks picked him up on the fact that he's sensual and very rhythm-oriented.
Well, that's certainly true.
In his new book, Does the Noise in My Head Bother You?, the 63-year-old Tyler reveals he received rehab in the same hospital as Steven Adler in 2008. Adler was kicked out of Guns N' Roses in 1990 because of his, quote, chemical-fueled antics.
There's so much to work with in this story. First of all, I never get over the fact that a guy was kicked out of Guns N' Roses for doing too many drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, that really just, I mean, the bar is set unimaginably high.
You are too irresponsible even for us.
He's coming to town. Steven Adler is going to be, he's going to be at Dante's, I think.
Maybe we could get him in here and we could talk to him about Steven Tyler's penis.
You know, he had like a cocaine-induced stroke, though, so he talks all weird out of the left side of his mouth.
Alive in studio penis watch.
A live in studio penis watch with a Guns N' Roses member who can't speak because he did so much cocaine his brain exploded. That's like money in the bank right there.
That really sums the Rick Emerson show.
It really does. He has this band, so he's coming to town, I think later this month or something. I saw that Tyler book on sale yesterday, and I very nearly bought it. And the only reason I didn't, I don't mind spending money on books. You know, that's not a thing that people should resist buying, Don. Purchasing books really is one of the reasons that God put us here.
It broadens your horizons.
Exactly.
It makes you a smarter, better person. And it looks good in your home.
And it impresses. That also charms the ladies into bed, just having a wide variety of books with green covers.
Mm-hmm.
My thing about the Tyler book, though, is specifically it's because it's in hardcover. And it's because... And I don't blame the authors for this. This is a thing that just – this is just like the – and it's not even publishers because this happens everywhere in all fields of media now. It's the same reason I don't buy the first edition of any DVD of any movie I like because they will screw me by putting out like the ultimate absolute, you know, ring-ding version or something, like with Lord of the Rings or with Almost Famous or with Boogie Nights, which they find where they put out three times. And finally, Anderson himself said, like, this is it. Like, this is the last one. They're not going to do this to you again. But I know that they will put out a paperback version of Tyler's thing that'll have like, you know, more, because they do that with all the John Krakauer's books. And I love John Krakauer, but I can't buy his books in hardcover anymore. I have to wait until they're in paperback. So so anyway, there's that. But it does look great. It looks like a fantastic book. Also, look, I'm all for the I'm all for the sexing and what, any of Steven Tyler, you know, hey, whatever, you know, or just, you know, Steven Adler, whoever. You're in a band, you're in Salt Lake, you got time to kill, whatever. But my thing is, like, that how is it that Steven Adler came to be in the immediate vicinity of Steven Tyler? Like, someone in that story doesn't have any shame or doesn't have a sense of boundaries. Maybe both of them.
I would say probably both of them.
I guess if you're Steven Tyler, what do you care? Look at this.
Yeah.
Five chicks, not even covered. And if you're Steven Adler, I guess you're just like, how many times in my life am I going to get to see the guy from Aerosmith, like, hump it out? So
It's always interesting to me to hear men talk about how they feel inadequate in, you know, their member size after seeing someone who is obviously a freak of nature.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's the same thing.
But chicks do that with porn, though.
Well, and I guess women do the same thing with, like, movie stars and actresses and stuff. You're like, you know, well, I'll never be that pretty. And it's like, well, you know, she won the genetic lottery.
Yeah.
She's a freak.
Yeah.
You know, if you compare yourself to that, of course you're going to come up short. So, and it's the same thing with, you know, men in porn or what have you. It's just kind of like, or just some guy you see in the shower at the gym. It's like, you know, why are you comparing yourself to the one guy who is obviously unnatural?
Seriously. And it's, you know, and I guess if it's, you know, if that's going to be a guy, I mean, you know, if in other words, if there's going to be a guy who is just, you know, who's just apparently just makes you, you know, dwarfs you in every way emotionally, I'd rather it be Steven Tyler, you know.
Well, yeah.
As opposed to, like, you know, like you just found out it was, if you just found out it was, like, you know, one of the Oak Ridge Boys or something. Like, how unfair would that be?
I mean, my husband, his boss has this insanely fabulously beautiful girlfriend. I guess wife now. They actually got married, and I see her a couple of times a year at, you know, company functions when we have to go to the company Christmas party and stuff. And she's really nice too. I mean, it's not, I can't dislike her in any way. And it's always weird, you know, when women dislike other women because they're really pretty anyway. But it's sort of like being around her to me is like being around someone like Storm Large. It's like we're not, I can't really even feel inadequate because it's not like we're the same species. She's got like a foot on me in height. She's absolutely just perfectly put together and stunningly gorgeous all of the time. She has a great job, so she makes a whole lot of money, so she's dressed really nice, you know, way better than me. And it's kind of like comparing myself to her would just be like comparing myself, you know,
to a
show pony or to a house or a swimming pool.
A bag of oranges.
It's not like we're even the same thing.
Yeah. No, I'm totally. Well, that's like not necessarily the same because I don't really run into a Johnny Depp all the time. But that was my thing about Johnny Depp, you know, yesterday when I was saying that, you know, that he was just sort of perfect. I mean, it's, you know, that's not even a thing I can really be upset about because it's like there's no.
Yeah.
You could take away half of Johnny Depp's positive attributes or traits or the things with which he was blessed. And he'd still be like 1,000 times better than I am in every way. So there's just
This is weirdly appropriate. I just looked on the Washington County Library website and looked up Steven Tyler's book, Does the Noise in My Head Bother You? Current number of holds, 69.
Yeah. Zam.
I am not making that up.
That's
I'm going to take a screen cap of that.
Someone is suggesting that we start advertising Rick Emerson and Show Pony mornings on ENN. Awesome. Okay. All right. Well, there you go, Steven Tyler. Yeah. And, you know, and did you say five chicks?
Yeah, that's what he said, five.
You know, and it's like if you're Steven Adler, you don't have any motivation to make that up. That's got to be a thing that just – and if it's Guns N' Roses, I mean, that had to be like 88, 89 when Steven Tyler was already like 100. So good for him. You know, God bless you, Steven Tyler. You know what I was watching last night? I was watching the I don't have any point here except to say that I was watching the Bon Jovi Behind the Music.
Of course you were.
Yesterday. Well, I put this.
I've got them all on DVD, you know.
I put this. I'll actually just because I don't think I can actually recreate this. I put it up. I put this thing up on Twitter yesterday for no real reason. I don't know why I said this, but I put a thing up last night where I said this was 15 hours ago, whenever that was. I said lame. I sometimes feel worn out from, you know, talking. Lamer. I watch Bon Jovi Behind the Music to perk up. Lamest. It totally works. Which, and I don't, you know, it's that thing of like, you know, they were talking about the, you know, Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora and how they didn't, you know, they didn't get along and they didn't speak to each other or whatever. But they're all past that now. And then you realize that, like, at no point in the thing are they ever in fact, no two guys from the band are ever in the same room together. At no point in that Behind the Music do they ever have any two guys from Bon Jovi on camera or within speaking distance of anybody else in the band. And I guess with like Steven Tyler, it's, you know, he and Joe Perry, you know, kind of had that for a while. But it's, Steven Tyler has always just gone through, he's always just gone through every stage of that band and all of the weird ups and downs. With just, you know, with just that private little smile on his face as though he were snickering at a joke that you never quite heard. But now we understand perhaps where his eternal good cheer comes from.
Yeah, why he's just so cheerful and smirky all of the time. I mean, who wouldn't be? Really?
I mean, really, because if porn star is your backup career, like that's your safety, then I mean, life is probably okay for you. Also, they put out an album a couple years back called Honkin' on Bobo. Aerosmith.
Oh, okay. That's my Juggalo name.
Honkin' on Bobo.
Honkin' on Bobo.
Yeah. Hey, the Rick Emerson radio program brought to you today and every day by Squires Electric. Find out more about them by going to squireselectric.com. Rick Emerson and Show Pony is brought to you by Squires Electric at facebook.com/SquiresElectric or squiresElectric.com, where you can also call them at 503-252-1609. That is 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. That means if you need something done at your home, you need something done at your business, they're the one company you call. You know, sometimes you call a company, then you got to call somebody else to come out and fix, you know, what that guy did because he just didn't get it put together correctly, or it was just, you know, you feel like you at the end of the road, you just feel like you paid too much for it, or it just took forever to get it done, or you were supposed to pass inspection and they found something that, you know, something that wasn't put together quite right. Squires Electric will get it done right. They're going to get it done right the first time, and it's going to be done efficiently, and it's going to be done inexpensively. You're going to be able to get what you paid for as opposed to overpaying for it. Free estimates as well, so you know up front, you know, what it's going to cost you. You get a good sense of what you're going to be paying before you, you know, you actually have them you know, do job one for you. So it's 503-252-1609. That is 503-252-1609. By the way, I don't know if you've gone to the Facebook page for Squires Electric today. I'll just read you the caption. Oh, the perils of being an electrician. I've had service calls before where mice have sought the warmth of an electrical box and shorted themselves out. But this is the first time I've ever had a snake waiting for me. And then there is a photograph of a snake wrapped around a power box in somebody's basement. So, followed by a lot of comments in the on Facebook, such as, ack! And closing browser now. So you go to facebook.com/SquiresElectric, you can actually see a picture of this snake that had wrapped itself around a power box they had to deal with. So that's the peril in which they put themselves for you, the customer. Squires Electric, 503-252-1609.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
All right, everybody sit down, quiet down, listen up. I brought you all here to recite the annual obituaries. Like every year, we'll start with A and we'll end with Z. All right, is the band ready?
Ready.
All right, hit it, Boyles.
A one and a two.
Drown in a pool. B is for Billy, who was eaten by ghouls. C is for Kurt with disease of the brain. D is for Daniel Durrell on a train. E is for Eric, who's buried alive. F is for Frank, who was stabbed through the eye. G is for Greg, who died in the womb. H is for Heather, who was sealed in a tomb.
one by one we bite the dust. Kick the bucket, begin to rust. Give up the ghost when your number's up. We all fall down. Ashes to ashes, bones to paste. You'll wither away in your resting place. Eternity in a wooden case. We all fall down.
I is for Isaac who lost his front brakes. J is for Johnny who was bitten by snakes. K is for Kimmy who was shot in the head. L is for Larry who bled and bled. N is for Marie who was burnt to a crisp. N is for Nick who was pummeled by fist. O is for Olive who lived like too fast. P is for Pat who swallowed some glass.
News Network.
topic, Emerson. Does Show Pony have its own Facebook page? I want to like that immediately.
All right.
It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. So we're gonna actually wrap it up probably a little bit earlier than we normally would. There's the equal parts. There's a whole bunch of things. The equal parts. Kind of doing some stuff, some last minute prep for tonight, and then also. Yeah, I feel bad because I do want to thank you for actually like just for playing through the pain because I know Snyder wasn't able to. I know you'd actually at one point thought about I should stay home and not infect everyone, and he wasn't able to do it until you were actually here powering through it. So
I kind of thought about it. It's interesting doing what we do now because it's weird to be kind of the captain of my own ship. You know, I am not an employee of anyone else, and so there is that point where I kind of feel like. You know, if I need to take a day, I could just take a day.
Damn it. I am the company.
Because we've been doing this for a year, and I've never missed a day doing this because of illness. And
you see the irony is you could, though.
Yeah, the thing is I could. You know, I don't... The problem is I don't have anybody to, like, do my job for me.
Yeah, that's sort of that's the downside of, like, being your own board of directors. Is there's just nobody to... I'll just pass it off to me, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. I do have to say this. I do have to say this one thing, actually. I don't even think I would have mentioned this if it wasn't so freaking weird. It's completely weird. This is one of the weirdest things, especially given some of the context into which the last couple of weeks pushed this. Do you remember that whole insane conversation? Well, do you remember that conversation I told you that Lisa and I had where she insisted that Reader's Digest was like a West Coast phenomenon and she wasn't even sure it existed anymore because there's a mention of it in the book? And, and then you and I had the whole conversation about it. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, page 73 of the new Reader's Digest actually has a little blurb from our book in it.
Oh,
which
nice.
You've
arrived.
Yes. Now I am somebody now. This is what it's all been about, Dawn. It's all been leading to this. Every step in my life, every instant of the journey has brought me to this place. Listener Rob Harrison just sent that to me. Said, oh my God, said, do you realize that you're quoted on page 73 of the new issue of Reader's Digest? No.
I don't even know where you would buy a Reader's Digest to own a copy
of
that.
The thing is, and I just saw a Reader's Digest this morning. I don't think it was actually this month when I was at the Fox 12. When you say you don't even know where you would get a Reader's Digest, you would get one at Fox 12 because it was sitting on the table in the green room.
Well, is it only available by subscription or can you buy it out places?
No, I think you can get it at the checkout stand at like Safeway, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's where I've always seen it.
They must have it at Walgreens. It just seems like something you'd have to have at Walgreens.
Totally. And I think maybe Fred Meyer carries it too. And again, it's always like by the Tic Tacs and the D cell batteries. And that's a thing from my childhood that has never changed. Yeah. I think it's right by like
because I must have been looking at it for so long that I just didn't see it.
It's always like by the Archie and Veronica double digest, and then like the cross, the bubble word finds. You know,
the thing above the checkout
above
belt,
the tabloids too.
Yeah, so it's in that little area that you just kind of don't really pay any attention to while you're putting your stuff on the belt.
Or the little mini books, Biblical Rapture.
Yes.
Is it coming May 21st?
And the UFO stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's where it is. And now they put like Sudoku and stuff up there. Yeah. So apparently, this is Rob Harrison and several other people have said this, but it said. So look who's been quoted on page 73 of the latest Reader's Digest. And especially after the whole discussion about whether it still existed. Wow. Okay. I don't even know. I mean, that is a thing that as Meg Ryan would say in Joe versus the Volcano. I have no response to that. I just have no way to process anything about
it. I'm looking at the Reader's Digest website, and I'm not sure what part that would be in. I'm sure it probably wouldn't be included in as pie, 7 fruit pie recipes for spring and summer.
I suspect they're probably not going to make that a cover. They're probably not going to put that as a lead. In fact, I got to say, unless they're really, they must just be aggressively targeting some different demographic because I can't imagine that like the old folk go, you know, we got to pick it up. It's got zombies this month. I mean, really, unless you're just trying to sell everything that's, you know, the grandfather and Lost Boys. I don't really know that that's the way you want to lay that magazine out, but Okay. Well, you know, the weird thing is, after that whole conversation today, now I'm obliged to go buy a copy.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, there you go. Okay. So, we're going to wrap it up. Be sure to join us tomorrow when our guest will include Mr. Big Jim Willig with another installment of Humor Me, Comedy 101. Also, today is Thursday, which means yesterday was Wednesday, which means you can hear Don Taylor's new installment of Ham Fisted Radio. That's at hamfistedradio.com. It airs live every Wednesday, 4 p.m. at Cascadia.fm, or again at hamfistedradio.com.
And we did. We talked to Billy Galaxy about Wonder Northwest and about his store and about dealing with weird, crazy, obsessive collectors who come in to buy memorabilia and such. And it was actually a pretty good show. It was interesting. So you can check that out at hamfistedradio.com and find out what's ahead for this weekend, which we will be at, and such.
So Wonder Northwest is wondernw.com. It's going to be happening Saturday and Sunday. You can find more about that at hamfistedradio.com or at wondernw.com. His flyers for that are awesome, by the way, and not just because it's got like he's got like the pirates in it, but he's also got I think that I immediately was sort of he embraced me with figurative open arms when I spotted IQ9 from Star Blazers as one of the characters on that, because that layout, that the handbill or the one sheet or whatever for Wonder the West is awesome.
I also saw the mock-up of the program yesterday when he was on the show and got to see what a bunch of the events are, and there are some really terrific panels. There's going to be like a thing on Godzilla. And there's one of the most interesting panels they're going to have, actually, is they've got an epidemiologist from Multnomah County coming in to talk about how a zombie outbreak would spread.
Awesome.
And what you would need to do to protect yourself.
That is fantastic. Excellent. All right. You can find out more about that at wondernw.com. Tonight, 7 p.m., Barnes & Noble, Lloyd Center, the signing for Zombie Economics. So that happens tonight, 7 p.m., Barnes & Noble, Lloyd Center. And again, you can find out more details about that at zombieeconomics.com, all one word. That is zombieeconomics.com. So,
and happy birthday to Kristen Bowie today.
And happy birthday to Kristen Bowie. I don't know, at what age do you start saying, like, who turns 19 or something?
However many years young.
I don't know. I
don't know. I don't even know. I have no idea how old she actually is. I don't know how old anybody is.
On my Facebook notification, it said, you know, birthday today, Kristen Bowie, and then had a number in parentheses that I'm thinking is her age.
Hmm.
I don't know. Is it impolite to say it? Should I say it? I don't know.
Well, if she put it on the Facebook page, it's not like she's keeping it secret.
Maybe she didn't know. Maybe she did it inadvertently.
Oh. See, some people like me, I know that my age might show up, so I just say that I was born in 1936 on my Facebook page. So
Seamus just says, she's like 12 or something ridiculous still.
Yeah.
Also, Get Well Show Pony. Starring the Little Rascals.
My new nickname. When I tried to take on the nickname Thunderclap at one time, and that didn't take off. That was my name when I was playing Left 4 Dead,
yeah.
And that didn't really take off. So maybe Show Pony will be the one that sticks.
Coco is taken, unfortunately. all right. So that is tonight, 7 p.m., and so we'll see you there. And so thanks to everybody who's purchased the book already. That means a great deal, and I speak for Lisa and Todd and Roger and Cheryl and everybody, you know, when I say this. So thank you. See you all tonight, and we'll see you tomorrow for Legion of News at noon, followed by another fine installment of the Rick Emerson Radio Program featuring Mr. Big Jim Willig as our guest tomorrow doing Humor Me Comedy 101. So that is all on the horizon. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic, represented by Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer Bruce Sagler, Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show made possible by generous grant from y'all. So thank you for listening. Please spread the word. That never goes unappreciated. It is Thursday, May 12th, 2011, and that is The Frequency, Kenneth. As always, thank you for listening. Be safe. See you all tomorrow. Bye now.